So, as Joe said, we talked about prayer this morning. Last week, Joe just introduced this kind of really, really mini series. Can you call it a series when it's two preachers? Can't really. But we're talking about prayer and the Bible, because they are the two things that I think sometimes we can find most difficult, actually, to engage in as Christians. So we're going to look at that a bit more. But I thought it would be helpful to basically ask people about prayer. So I did a little survey of some people in the church. And so I asked Ruth 9, Rebecca 8, and Miriam 6 what they thought about prayer. That's three of my daughters. And I thought it was really insightful what they said. I didn't prep them or anything. I just said to them, what do you think about prayer? And anyway, this was their responses. So they actually gave me the outline for my preach. That was brilliant. And I praise God for that. So Mary said this, I find prayer easy because you're literally just asking Jesus to help you with something. I thought there was real faith in that. So we're going to make that point one. Ruth said, I find it easy and hard because sometimes I know what to say and sometimes I don't know what to say. Anyone relate to that? Rebecca said, I like praying because God can help me with anything I need and I get to know God more. And I was really pleased, yeah, with their answers. They're a proud father there. And so I don't know how much they were just trying to impress me, but they were good answers. And get him on there. Okay. He's gone for it. We're going to carry on. If you're listening online, just make a cup of tea for a minute. I love your persistence, Guy. There we go. I think this is the one that broke on me last time. Here we go. Right. Oh, I need to turn it on. There we go. Okay. Ooh. We'll wait till he gets back and he can adjust the sound. So, 3 points to make this morning. So, summarised into that. Sometimes prayer is easy, as Mary said, because you're literally, I mean, you can hear a child saying it, you're literally just asking Jesus to help you with something. What could be simpler? Sometimes prayer is hard because you don't know what to say. You don't know how to pray. And prayer is good because God can help me with anything and I get to know him more. So we're going to take those points one at a time, but we're actually going to look at what the Bible says, not just my children, you'll be pleased to know this morning. So we're going to start with Luke chapter 11. If you want to turn there, I always say it's good to get a Bible app. If you've got a Bible app or whatever, I'll put the words up on the screen as well. And basically we're going to have a look at what Jesus said. We actually did the Sermon on the Mount series recently. We looked at the Lord's Prayer, as it's known. You'll probably be familiar with it. Our Father in Heaven, from the book of Matthew. Well, this is Luke's take on it, and actually Jesus teaches us to pray through this. And so when we're thinking about how hard or how easy it is to pray, Jesus actually says his disciples come to him and say, well, teach us to pray like that. Now, it's quite incredible because they've already been out doing all kinds of things in the name of Jesus, and then they say, actually, Jesus, can you teach us to pray? So we'll have a look at that and see what we can learn from it. So Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1, and like I say, I'll put the words on here as well. So one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, or our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation. So it's a sort of shorter version than the one we read in Matthew. But then he goes on to say this. Then Jesus said to them, so he takes the teaching opportunity. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, I love that, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I think there's a bit of that shameless audacity in Mary saying, you can literally ask God for anything. And it's the audacity of a child, isn't it? And Jesus is saying, this is good. This is a good way to approach God. And sometimes we can find that so hard. Then he goes on to say, verse 9, so I say to you, so Jesus is saying to his disciples, you know, you want to know how to pray, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, so think about this as a parent, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Obviously the answer is hopefully none of us. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Well then if you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven
give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him.
So, Jesus teaches us to pray in the Bible when the disciples ask him. When we come and ask Jesus, if you struggle with prayer, one of the things you can do is actually ask God to help you. And you see at the end there in that passage that he says, how much more will the Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so we as Christians, when we come to God, we're praying to someone. And I think it's really interesting because lots of people talk about prayer in the world, won't they? They say, oh yeah, we must pray for this or pray for that, or maybe other religions and things like that. But actually Christian prayer is unique because we are praying, A, to someone. A lot of people who talk about prayer, they're not praying to it. They're just kind of, please, if you're out there, that kind of prayer. But actually, no, Jesus is saying, no, pray to the Father. And that word Father is so important in this. And so I think it's worth mentioning, depending on your earthly father and what they're like, you may find this harder or easier to understand. If you've got a good father, you might think, yeah, I can see that, asking my father for something. My father's good, he would bless me. And so what about the God of heaven? If he's a father, surely he would bless me even more. But if you had a bad father, maybe that's much more difficult to understand. I know personally, for me, I've found it easier being a father and thinking how I want to bless my own children and being able to understand God's love for me as a father. And I think one of the important things this morning, and taking what Miri said, you can literally ask God for anything, is that actually God is saying, no, I'm a good father. I am the father. I am the example, the model father. And I think we need to see that this morning, the first thing. And I don't know how you feel about God this morning. I don't know what you think. I don't know if you're a Christian. I don't know if you have a relationship with God. But actually, when you become a Christian, you put your trust in Jesus. And Jesus is the Son of the Father. And actually, when we do that, we get all the rights, we get all the entitlements that the Son has. God says he adopts us into his family. And so in the same way that Jesus can go to the Father, as he did throughout his ministry, and read about Jesus, he goes to the Father and he asks him for whatever he needs. And constantly you see Jesus just disappearing, going off to pray. And he sets this example of going to a Father who loves him and asking for things. And that Father responds by giving him things and by spending time with him. And so, as Miriam said, prayer is easy because you can literally just ask God or Jesus to help you with something. And what's better is it's God's idea, and Jesus is telling us that we can do that. So verse 9 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. So when we understand this, then prayer actually should become a bit easier. And just a bit of testimony from this week as I'm thinking about, right, I'm preaching on prayer next week, I better make sure I'm praying. And you'd think, you know, leader of the church, he's probably praying all the time, 3 hours every morning. You can imagine that. Do you know what? It's hard. It is a battle. It is a challenge. But I was inspired this week to be slightly less of a hypocrite than I normally am, and to come and stand in front of you and say, do you know what? I've been praying this week. And I have. And do you know what? God has been answering my prayers and absolutely knocking them out of the park. And I just wondering, I come full of faith this morning, because I've actually pressed into this. I've actually said, you know, God, I need to pray more. I need to know who you are. I need to remember that you love me. And I need to come to you and ask for things all the time. And what's God done this week? He has just blessed me. I've never seen so many prayers answered in my life as I have done this week. And I say that with all sincerity. Simple, silly little things. Praying for kids to behave. Praying for work to go well. Praying just for Catherine and just our relationship to flourish and things like that. Just seeing God just doing amazing little things. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It's walking step by step, hour by hour, in relationship with our Father who loves us. And so I want to encourage you this week to press into that, and we'll come back to some application at the end. Number two, sometimes prayer is hard. If you don't know what to say. That was Ruth's take on it. Oh, what's going on with this? This is the dodgy mic, you see. Sometimes prayer is hard. You know, we begin a new year with a series on prayer and reading the Bible. Why do we do that? That's going to shouting, I think. Let's try it. Why do we do that? Why do we start the year talking about the Bible and prayer? Because actually, do you know what? We are in a spiritual battle. There is a battle going on for our hearts, for our minds. We see it in the world. I mean, Joe really helpfully last week talked about iPhones and and this constant technology kind of imposition on our lives. And again, just, I mean, I listened to what Joe said last week. Do you know, I've left my phone downstairs a week. Been really helpful in my prayer life and reading my Bible. Because the first thing I've done each morning is picked up my Bible. I've not picked up my phone because it's too far away from me. I'm too lazy to go downstairs in the cold and go and get it. So I thought, well, I'll read my Bible then instead. And so, you might not know whether or not God is real. You might not know whether you're in a spiritual battle or not. But if you're not a Christian, what you will know is that life is a struggle. And I think for all of us, we would have experienced that, particularly in these last couple of years. I mean, let's just do a quick poll. If you've had any struggle in life in the last 2 years, why don't you put your hand up? And if you haven't, could you come up here and take the breach? Tell us what you're doing. And do you know what? Life is a struggle, isn't it? And you think, well, why is that? Should at least some of us have a life that just works really well? You would think when you're in a room of this size, you think somebody's had, you know, the last 2 years, just no struggle at all. Because there's an expectation in us that life shouldn't be a struggle. Like, you feel it, don't you? You just think, why is this happening to me? Why me? And it's like, actually, it's not just you, it's every single one of us. And that's because life is a struggle. We are in a spiritual battle. And the Bible just tells us that throughout. It talks about the problem of human sin. It talks about how creation is actually cursed because of sin. That things just go wrong. We have this bend in our nature. You know, whether you believe in original sin or not, you can look at your own life and go, well, actually, I can't even keep to my own standards, let alone God's. And so these are evidences of actually what the Bible says that problem is that it's human sin. Now, we live in a current culture, don't we, in the West, that says, you know, well, everyone's basically good. Everyone's basically good, and a few people are bad, and it's because they've not been educated properly. And if we could just educate everyone, then we'd all be good, because education is the answer to everything. Now, we know that's fundamentally not true, and we see what that's actually doing to the world. And people are just going along with emotion and desire and everything else, saying, well, it doesn't matter, you can go for whatever you want. Your desires, you know, if they're your desires, you know, your desires, just follow them. That'll bring you happiness and joy. And actually what the Bible tells us is that some of our desires are not actually right. They're misdirected, they're misplaced. And so we don't need to be liberated to embrace them all. Actually, we need to understand where we need constraint. Because we're not animals, we're not like the rest of creation where we just do whatever we desire. And so all of this is part of our struggle and part of the battle we're in. And if you're a Christian this morning, actually we understand that the spiritual battle is actually going on around us all of the time. We're not just in some morally neutral environment. Actually, what's going on is that we have an enemy, that God has enemies, that sin is opposed to God in every way, and God actually is opposed to sin in every way, and God has sent Jesus to come and sort that out. And so we read in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to turn there, you can go to verse 10. And he talks about putting on the armor of God. And so let's read that together. I'll put it up on the screen here. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, that struggle that we all feel, is not against flesh and blood. It's not just other people. It's not just ourselves. But actually, it's against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And so actually, this is quite profound if you think about it, because we don't think like this. This is not the way we've been trained to think. We think that all we can see is material and it's all in front of us, and well, we're Christians, so we kind of believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, kind of in heaven, sort of on their own, and a few angels floating around. Actually, no, there is a whole spiritual realm around us. I mean, you particularly see it in the life of Jesus, don't you, with demons and people, just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And you know what? That still goes on today. There are things happening around us that we cannot see. But Paul goes on and says this, verse 13, therefore put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and that's probably every day, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, we need truth, the breastplate of righteousness in place, we need to know that we're righteous in Jesus, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that was last week, the Word of God, the Bible is one of our weapons. And then this in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And Paul says, pray also for me, for that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. He's in prison. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You see, sometimes prayer is hard because we're in this spiritual battle, but we tend to forget that. And so we think, well, it should be easy. And if it's not easy, then, you know, I just won't do it. But actually, when you become aware of this, of what Paul's saying in Ephesians 6, you think, oh, I'm actually in a battle. And prayer is one of my weapons that I can use in this battle. Not just for attack, but also for defense. And so sin is what is wrong with the world and the constant struggle we have. But the antidote to that is actually prayer and the Word of God, the truth of the Bible. And so that verse in verse 12 again, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in this heavenly realm. Prayer and scripture or the Bible are both our shield and our weapons with which we can defend and fight with. And so we wanted to set this year up by saying you need to be reading the Bible and you need to be praying. And it's not to be legalistic and say you must do it. No, you need to do it because it's good for you. Because it's going to help you, it's going to serve you in this battle. You're going to get to know God better. You're going to understand the things that are going on in your life better. And I just want to encourage you, just from my own experience, just by pressing into that this week, I've just seen God in new ways. I'm enjoying Him more. I'm delighting in His presence. And go, oh, do you know what? I want more of this. And so it's doing something in me that is actually exciting me and making me go, I want more of this. It is a battle, but I'm going to fight a bit harder now. Because I feel stirred, I feel inspired by it. And so as I pray, as I do that, I find that God actually is working with me in it. That my Father is answering my prayers and encouraging me and stirring me. And then in verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You know, we've heard this morning about, you know, Simpson and COVID, and I mean the whole story of Simo and his cancer. We've just covered it in prayer, and Joe will tell you, you know, as a team, we've been praying just so regularly, and we've been inspired to pray more. We've found people in the church praying more, and we've seen God healing. And as God is answering our prayers, we're inspired to pray more. And it's like, what else can we pray for? What else is going on? We suddenly realize that this is what God wants. God wants a relationship with us. It's not that He needs us, but it's that we need Him, and He loves to spend time with us. He loves to answer our prayers. And so he actually encourages us to come to Him because He's a Father who wants a relationship with us. And so if we treat God as if He's distant and angry and basically doesn't really like us, we're not going to go to Him like that. But when we look at Jesus, when we look at God sending His own Son to bring us back into a relationship with Him, we think, do you know, maybe God likes me. Maybe God enjoys spending time with me, like I enjoy spending time with my children. I think maybe God feels like that about me. Maybe God feels like that about you. He saved you. You didn't have to. So He says to you, come to me. I want a relationship with you. I don't want to just give you everything you need and you not know that I'm even here with you. And so by God calling us into prayer, actually we grow in our love and our relationship and our affection for Him, and it starts to deal with all the other things in our lives as well. And you see, if you read the Old Testament, you'll see the people of Israel, they go like this, their relationship with God, just up and down, and they go through seasons of crying out to God and calling out to Him. And He answers their prayers, and He comes in, and then they go quiet, and then they start being self-sufficient. Because really the opposite of prayer is a lack of faith, it's self-sufficiency. Because you go, well, I'm okay, I've got this. It's like, you do it with your kids, don't you? I do it with my kids. Would you want me to help you with that? You know, when they're trying to climb up like three chairs piled on top of each other to get to the popcorn in the top shelf, which Miri did last night, and I'm watching. I'm like, do you want me to help you with this? No, I've got it. And she's balancing on the edge of the worktop. And I'm like, at what point do I intervene And at what point do I let her learn the lesson? And I'm kind of sat and I'm just finishing my dinner. Fortunately, she survived. But she could have just asked me, and do you know what? I would have helped her. And she would have been much better for it, safer, had she fallen off. Fortunately, she didn't. But we can be like that, can't we? We quite often do. Is there anything we can pray for right now in your life? You know, we do it at life groups. Sometimes. Is there anything we can pray? No, I'm okay. There's absolutely nothing that the creator of the universe, who made everything from nothing and can transform your life in a millisecond, there is nothing he can do for you right now. No, I'm okay. You can pray for my friend. Okay, but you're all right, yeah. Now, I'm not really mocking people there, because I do that. And it's like, do you know what? I am too busy right now, God, to pray. I've got to sort this problem out. I'll come back to you. I've got to sort this problem out. This is us all going on. And again, this week, rather irritating, I imagine, to Catherine, I've been the one, normally it's the other way around, I've said, should we just stop and pray about this? Everything's going crazy, the kids are messing around and things aren't happening. Should we just pray? And of course, Catherine's normally saying that to me, and I'm going, no, I don't need your prayer. Actually, sometimes we just need to stop and go, do you know what, we have a Father in heaven who loves us and cares for us and wants us to come to him. And it's just unbelievable how quickly he answers prayer. So little Peter, I'm going to use all my kids this morning in examples, little Peter having a proper tantrum, wouldn't say no, sorry to his sister because he'd hit her with something on the head and all this. I'm like, Peter, should we pray for you? I'm like, well, I'm going to pray for you anyway. Dear Jesus, will you help Peter to say sorry to his sister? And then he looks at me and says, will Jesus help me? I said, yes, I'll help you. Then he turns to his sister and goes, sorry. And that used to take about half an hour to get to that. It shortcutted it by about 29 minutes. And it's such a silly little example, but I think it is the humour of God, it is the love of God, it is the Father relational God that we long for and we sometimes don't believe exists. And I think that's a little example, and actually there's been quite a few of those with him particularly, and where he's going through a stubborn 3-year-old age. But God is just doing it, and God is going, oh, I want to encourage you in this, Thomas. I want you to pray, and I'm doing it and everything. And so all of that said, I'm just saying that this is why throughout the Bible we're encouraged to pray. But we're praying to someone who loves us, who is for us, and he's the one that's encouraging us. And he wants us to go to him. He wants us to know that we need him. And so finally, and I think I've already got there really, number three is that finally prayer is good, as Rebecca said, because God can help me with anything and I get to know him more. And I think this is what it's really all about. So let's read one more passage, Philippians chapter 4, if you want to turn there in verse 4. So Philippians in the New Testament. Put that around there. He says this is Paul again speaking to the Philippian church. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Our relationship with God is one to rejoice in. That's what gives God the most glory, is when we actually rejoice in our relationship with him. Because he loves us, because he's for us, because he's with us, and he's crying out to spend time with us. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's near. He's not far from you. Because of Jesus. It's not your sin. We've read that earlier, and Linda helpfully brought from Romans 8, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Your sin can't separate you from the love of God, because Jesus died for that sin on the cross. So sorry, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. I mean, who's been anxious in the last year? I mean, I'll put my hand up to that. I am anxious all the time. I hate it. Do you know what? I haven't been anxious this week. Just saying. But every situation by prayer, so every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer is good because we get the peace of God from it, because we come to God with thanksgiving because of our relationship with him, and it's also an antidote to anxiety. In verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God.
You know, I don't know about you, but I just find anxiety seems to just creep in everywhere these days. We live in such an anxious world, and we're worried, we're full of fear, often where anxiety comes from. I heard a wonderful thing this week, actually, just about fear. And it's just that fear, and it says this in 1 John, fear has to do with punishment. I think it's 1 John. And fear has to do with punishment. And so often I feel like I'm under the punishment of God. And I take what Jesus has done for me and I set it aside. I go, no, I need to be punished for my sin. And I've realised that my fear, my anxiety comes out that I feel guilty sometimes. And you know what? When I get before God and I worship him and I thank him for what Jesus has done. Because the only reason I can pray to God is because Jesus has made it possible for me to come into the presence of God. And Gemma brought it this morning, you know, we don't have a high priest there. Well, we do have a high priest, his name's Jesus. We don't have to go through the priest to go and speak to God. That's what the Old Testament was about, was that they had to go through someone because no one was holy enough to come into the presence of God. So God had to do a lot of things for that to happen. But ultimately, that's pointing to Jesus. And so actually, we have a high priest who has gone before us, says that in Hebrews. And so we can have peace with God now. We do have peace because of Jesus. So prayer is good because we've got peace with God, that we can know him. And verse 7, the peace of God which transcends all understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, you can go through the worst crisis. And again, I'll go back to Simpson because he's just been a real example of faith in this time. And we know him well enough that it's not put on. I'm going to be all right. God's got this. God's got this. And he's telling the doctor, I'm going to be okay. God's got this. Now, on the one hand, he's got this faith that God's going to heal him and everything else. And at the same time, he also knows even if God doesn't, God's still got it. Because ultimately, our security is in heaven. Our security is in what is to come. And so the peace of God that transcends all understanding is knowing that even if everything does go bad, you might die, but you're going to be with God. You're going to be with Jesus in paradise, in eternity, with no more sin. I mean, that is the Christian faith, is that we can go and die for Jesus. And you hear about it all through history, the martyrs that went. People just go and give their lives for Jesus in order that people might get saved and come to know him. And they go and do that knowing. They used to pack their coffins when they went off to India and places like that, knowing they weren't going to come back. But they were going because they loved God so much. They knew that it was worth the sacrifice. And that's our hope. That's the peace that we get, is that actually what can man do to us? If God is for you, who can be against you? As he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not freely give us all things? The peace comes when we know the truth of the Bible, when we know the truth of the gospel, that Jesus died for you. That he's paid for all your sin, past, present, and future. That our Father is a Father who loves us, that sent his own son to die for us on a cross. I just had a revelation this week, and I was listening to some worship music, and there was just a line about how the love of God is in the scars of Jesus. And just as I was listening to it, I just thought, it says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I just had this picture of Jesus being whipped, and it was just horrific, his crucifixion. And each time he got whipped, there was this agonizing pain, and yet this even more incredible love for every single one of us. As he took our punishment, as he took the pain of our sin upon himself. It was just profound, and I was in tears over it. And I was just like, he loves us that much, that the joy that he had was worth the pain of the cross, the pain of the God of heaven, holy God of heaven, to become sin, it says, for us in our place, to actually face separation from his Father who he'd been with for eternity. This is the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus, is that God sent his son. And it wasn't man that was whipping Jesus, it was God. It was God the Father dealing out his wrath because he's a holy and righteous God that he had to pour out on sin in his justice. But instead of putting it on us, he put it on his son. That's how much he loves us. And that same God says, will you come and speak to me? Will you come and spend time with me? I did this for you. I sent the Son for you. Why wouldn't we want to pray to a God like that? And so as we finish, I just want to give us some practical things that we can do, maybe this week, maybe today even. Number one, start praying the truth back to God. As I said, we've talked about Scripture, Bible. I mean, that is one of your weapons. If you are struggling in your life and you're not reading your Bible, it's like going into a fight with a sword next to you and refusing to pick it up. The Bible, it's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not to make it sound easy. It's not. You are in a battle, and as soon as you go to pick your Bible up, you will find 10 distractions coming. But I want to encourage you to push through that. Actually, we can make choices. We can be disciplined. We talk about spiritual discipline. It's not a bad word. Sometimes it means giving up something. Maybe it means going to bed early so that you can get up early and read your Bible in the morning. I just want to encourage you, for your own sake, try that this week. Say, do you know what, I'm just going to make that decision. I'm going to leave my phone downstairs. I'm going to leave my Bible next to my bed. I'm going to get up and read it. It's not to be legalistic, but it's just to say, look, I promise you your life will change as soon as you start doing this. And then what we do is we pray the truth of Scripture back to God. God gives us all these wonderful promises. He wrote the Bible through people, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed, that God somehow was the architect of the whole of Scripture that we have. So you know when you're reading your Bible, as Joseph last week, we can trust it. And so when you read God saying something about his love for you, I'll never leave you or forsake you, or nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus, you can pray that back to him. Pray his truth back to him and declare that over yourself. And you'll find that that does something for your soul. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says this, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." All that means is that all of the promises of God are met in Jesus. If you have put your trust in Jesus, then you can declare those promises over yourself, every single one of them in Scripture. And learn to pray those truths out. If you don't know what to pray, we don't know what to pray, do we, sometimes? Just pray the Bible. God, you say this. I'm going to pray this over myself this morning, over my family, over my friends. We can do that. Number two, find a quiet place. Just a simple one. Jesus gives us the example in Matthew 6:6. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That Jesus and God see what we do in secret. And so when we pray, just practice praying. Just on your own. Find a place for it. And it's good to pray throughout the day. Good to have conversations. But we also need that quality time with God. Same as we do in any relationship. You know, Catherine and I, we see each other regularly. We say, how about you? Then we have times where we just sit down together in quiet, without the children, and we chat, and that's actually when we get under the bonnet a bit more. And so just encourage you, find a quiet place. You know, maybe it's outside, maybe it's going for a walk somewhere. You know, whatever that place is where you just feel a sense of closeness to God, it's good to get there and just spend some time in prayer. Encourage you in that. And then ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help and pray with and for God's people. And that includes yourself. So again, Ephesians 6 verse 18, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And then Paul also says in the book of Romans 8, "The same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Now, the other thing the Bible teaches us is that when you become a Christian, when you put your faith in Jesus, that the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God the Father, the third person of the Trinity, actually comes and dwells within us. And so as we finish today, what I'd love to do is just invite the Holy Spirit to come and meet with us. And Pete, maybe you could come back up and play. And I just think it'd be good to pray and to ask God to do it. And sometimes we just don't know what to pray, especially when unusual things are going on and stuff like that. But you know what? The Spirit of God is praying on our behalf. He prays through us. Sometimes we pray in tongues.
That's a gift of the Spirit. Maybe you've got that gift, and maybe just praying in tongues is something that will encourage you. But I just want to encourage you this morning, just to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If this is an area that you struggle in. And again, you're praying by doing that. And by doing that, you're inviting God into your life. And he will come. He will respond. And so, why don't you stand and just want to encourage us really in three things that you can do now. First of all, you can do nothing. You can just, you know, enjoy worship and that's okay. Or maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Or maybe you're not sure you've really experienced being able to pray to your Father in heaven in the way that I've talked about this morning. You know, you may need to just come to God and just ask him into your life. It might be that you need to pray a prayer of repentance this morning and just ask for God's forgiveness for the first time and know that God will respond to that. Or maybe if you're a Christian, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you just need to make a decision this morning to spend more time in God's Word, spend more time in prayer. Invite the Holy Spirit to help you do that, to cry out to God, to encourage you and strengthen you in that. So I'm going to pray. Why don't you, if you want to, you can put your hands out before yourself. Just saying, God, I'm open to you. And just in your heart, I just encourage you to think about what God's done for you. We sing all these songs to Jesus. We take communion, remembering his body and his blood. And he bore our sin on the cross. Bit of sin in your life. There's a stripe on the back of Jesus that he took lovingly and willingly for you because he loves you so much. Just as you declare your love for Jesus just in your heart, just maybe just start speaking over yourself. Crying out to God. Holy Spirit, just invite you here now. Come and meet with us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that you say you'll come. We stand at the door and knock, Lord. We are knocking. You stand at the door and knock. We also knock and invite you in, Lord. Lord, help us to open the door to our hearts this morning, Lord, to the areas that we've locked away, maybe the sinful, shameful places. Lord, I pray this morning you'll open those doors in people's hearts. Lord, you pay the price for that sin as well. Lord, you are a Father who loves us. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, will you intercede for us? Declare the love of the Father over us this morning, I pray. Lord, help us to be a praying people that delight in our relationship with the loving God of heaven. Pour out your Spirit on us, I pray this morning. God, I just pray for healing this morning. Broken hearts, Lord, deep mending. Lord, I pray for anxiety, Lord. I pray for sin, addiction. Just people that are locked in habits. God, will you break in this morning? Lord, will you take off the chains? Lord, because you've already died for that. You've already paid the price for that. Lord, bring freedom this morning, I pray. Help us to worship you now, Lord, in a way that we are free, in a way that we know your love for us.
Yes,
just declare it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship him.